everyone. My name is Jennifer, and the study that I did is entitled The Role of Literacy in Education in Global Health, a Study of India. And I'm a student at Walden University, a PhD student in public health. And I also work with a slum school in Joy Beginners. And just to give you a little bit of background about how I became interested in this topic, as a beginning new public health student, a lot of what I learned right away is that there's a lot of social aspects of health. And so one of the known influencers of health is socioeconomic status. And that drastically impacts health. And in developing countries, what sort of job you have and what you're able to do depends on what your literacy and education level is, as is everywhere. So I started to become really interested in what the relationship was with health, socioeconomic status, and then how education and literacy impacted that. So I started to read as much as I could about the impact of literacy and education on health. And the World Health Organization and the United Nations all list literacy and education as human rights. They believe that everybody should have access to education and have the right to literacy, because that's what ends up building a basic working health literacy. And then, of course, for young women, education is especially empowering in developing countries because they are the primary caregivers, usually, of their families. So that gives them literacy and education, give them a better working sense of taking care of their kids, their husbands, and then if something were to happen to their husband, they are able to support themselves and their family. So the purpose of my study is I just wanted to better understand the impact of literacy and education on health. And because I was still a student taking classes when I was conducting this study, I only had only had access to secondary data. And I wanted to use a country that would be representative of other developing countries. And one of the only data sets I actually had access to was India. But it worked out well because the sample I ended up using was a representative sample of India. And India is so big and very diverse, I was hoping that it would be a sufficient model for other developing countries. So I wanted to just better understand the impact of literacy and education on health. So that maybe if the relationship could be a little bit better defined, it could actually be used as a global health tool and something that could be used everywhere, all over the world in developing countries. And so when I finished my study, I had the opportunity to go to a slum school in Kenya and see how what I found in my study could potentially be applied somewhere else. So we'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the presentation. So the learning objectives is, or what I hope we'll cover during this presentation, is to identify national health indicators affected by literacy and education status. I'm going to attempt to explain to you the impact of female literacy on family health, and then give you ways to justify and evaluate the sustainability of public health literacy and education programs. And then at the very end, I'll try to give you some ideas if you happen to know or have any interest in helping a slum school in a developing country, give you some ideas that you can use to promote and support that school. So as I began my literature review, one of the key trends was that literacy rates are national predictors of infant and child mortality, GNP, life expectancy, and the use of family health services. And not surprisingly, these are also indicators of health status, and which makes sense, because when you think about, if you compare developing countries with developed countries, you know that education tends to be accessible to everyone in most developed countries, and there's less people below the poverty line. There's a higher GNP, they have a reliable income usually, versus with developing countries, none of those are necessarily givens. And also, one of the, there was an African researcher by the name of Jogu, and I used a lot of her information. And she did a study. She's based in Africa, but she did a lot of developing country surveys. She compiled a lot of international data and found that illiterate populations globally tend to be 3 times more susceptible to poor health. And on average, she found that 50% of the populations in developing countries on average were illiterate. And the reason, another reason literacy is so important, especially for women, is a study I looked at in Nepal. Illiterate women were 56% more likely to have a child die than literate women. And then women who knew just about where and how and when to access family health services were 57% less likely to experience child death. And so this kind of flows into what Lee and Mason, who are actually also did a study on India, they call it the maternal complex, and they define it as the spillover phenomenon of good health onto infants, children, and husbands of literate wives and mothers. So it basically follows the theory that if a woman is literate and educated, she's able to understand what her growing family needs. She has a better ability to engage in critical thinking, process health information. She has a health literacy. She can make split-second decisions in times of emergency based on a foundation of a basic education. And so this is why the theory of education as a very sustainable global health tool comes into play, because if she's literate and educated, she's more likely to make sure her children are literate and educated. She can support her children if something were to happen to her husband, so she has some economic independence. And then also, as the children are growing, they're in that environment where they have proper nutrition or better nutrition. They have, if she understands how to keep the house clean and orderly and safe, then the children grow up learning how to do that as well. And another finding that Lee and Mason came up with in India is that 44.4% of children from illiterate mothers were unvaccinated, compared with 8% of children from literate mothers were unvaccinated. So even just a basic understanding of why vaccinations are important, where you can get them. And I put together this model or this cycle of what the impact of literacy and education on health is, because one of the biggest gaps in the literature is that there isn't a direct correlation. It's not a linear relationship, I should say, between literacy and education on health. It really works as a cycle. And one of the quotes that affected me the most in the literature was by a 2007 study by Shell. And she said, the major causes of child death, like malaria, HIV, AIDS, respiratory and gastrointestinal infections are preventable through socioeconomic progress in areas affecting hygiene, education, gender equality, nutrition, and human rights. And one of the common denominators of all of those factors is education. Education has the ability to impact many different parts of the cycle. So the purpose of my study began, I wanted to try to fine-tune what's known about this relationship. So the data set, the secondary data set I had access to, it was raw data, was from a 2005 India Human Development Survey. And it was considered to be representative of India. There were only 2 regions out of all of India that were not able to be surveyed. But there was a balance between the rural villages and urban households. And I chose variables related to household literacy and education, and then compared with household health indicators as identified in the literature. So that included childhood death as a representative of household health, the prevalence of diarrhea, and the use of family health services. And then I tried to stratify for confounders that were identified in the literature, such as poverty, caste, and religion. So as I manipulated my data, I just used really simple descriptive analyses. I also did bivariate analyses, cross-tabulations, and chi-squares. And I came up with a 63.5% literacy rate in India, which is actually a lot higher than what that African researcher I had studied said, Jo Gwu. She had said that there was on average only 50% literacy rate. Male education level was 1.5 times higher than female education level, and the Indian researchers, Lee and Mason, had found a similar number, and they identified that as being a reflection of gender roles. Indian society is very paternalistic, and they tend to put more of an emphasis and importance on educating the males of the family versus the females. And then, as predicted, poverty was definitely a confounder. I would find all of these great relationships between like literate households being more likely to use family health services, but when I would stratify by poverty, all of the results were nullified. There was a correlation with poverty status and education, so if they were above the poverty line, they tended to be educated or have a higher degree of education. And with diarrhea prevalence, there was less diarrhea prevalence as female education increased, and also it seemed to be affected by class. So the lower the class, the greater the diarrhea prevalence in the household. And then probably the biggest finding of the study, and again this was just through descriptive statistics, was that adult female education was found to be twice as impactful upon the reduction of child death as adult male education in the household. And female education level per grade per household reduced child death by approximately 50%. And this aligned perfectly with what I had found in the literature. Again, this is another quote by Shell, where investing in female education might be the most rational intervention that countries can make to prevent avoidable deaths. And so that was kind of how my study ended, but what word I kept getting caught up on was the term investing. It seemed what I had learned in public health so far is that funding is always very limited, and I wanted to know what kind of investment it would actually mean to apply the fact that education has a huge impact on health, especially in developing countries and especially for young girls. So after I completed this study, I had a chance to go to a slum school in Kenya. And as you can see, it's made out of recycled metal. It's made out of shanties. The school runs on less than $7,000 a year. There's no running water. There's no electricity. There's no plumbing. There's about 330 students. They get fed one meal a day. The teachers actually live in the slums right along with them. The kids are safe. They're getting a primary school education. They're kept off the streets, and they're kept protected. So it doesn't take a whole lot of resources, and I found between talking with the headmistress and trying to work with the school directly myself, there's a lot of really easy ways you can get involved if you happen to know of a slum school or are interested in even a rural school in a developing country. You can host book and school supply drives, clothing drives. It doesn't always have to be in terms of sending money over, so you can get your local community involved. You can organize partnerships with sister schools and churches. A lot of times they're really excited to help. And I've found in particular churches get a little bit hesitant to take on a really big project, but if you say you have just a tiny school, that's more feasible for them. You can get the community involved through different lectures or promotional media if you have any specific talents that you can use to put towards helping the school. I was able to publish a children's book this summer, and I was able to get it so that the royalties of the book, every time the book sells, it goes straight to the Bush School. So if you have anything that you like to do in particular, you can try to channel it to support a school. And then even just creating a website where people can find out more about the school, be updated with pictures and information, and donate directly. It's a really easy way to sustain small schools and help improve the health of kids and their future. And so as my conclusion, local education and literacy promotion for women and children are worth the investment and may be the most promising and sustainable tool in 21st century global health initiative, because supporting these slum schools in such simple ways is it is sustainable. It gives the children better health for years and years and years to come, and they pass it on to their children. And then it's very economical in terms of public health, where it doesn't require a lot of funding, it doesn't require a lot of resources, and anyone can do it. It just takes a little bit of community mobilization, a little bit of creativity, and in really small ways, and not even necessarily in monetary terms, you can make a big difference. So thank you.